Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22. And we will call attention this evening particularly to verse 26. Genesis 32, beginning at 22, the Word of God. And he, that is Jacob, he rose up that night and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then our text, verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, that is then Jacob, and he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him, and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Amen. Beloved congregation, this evening as well as next Lord's Day, both times I hope to preach on the passage that we read this evening, Genesis 32. I believe some of you have the little booklet by the late Reverend Douglas MacMillan, which deals with the wrestling with God, and I here and there surely make use of the many marvelous jewels that he brings out from this passage. Beloved congregation, there are low points as well as high points in a person's life. Low points are points at which a person feels lost, doesn't know which way to turn, perhaps going through heavy trial or suffering bereavement of loved ones. Low points. And then high points are points of which we sometimes say we now stand on top of the mountain and we can look far and wide. At points at which we experience prosperity in a special way, perhaps a marriage, the gift of marriage, or the birth of a little baby, or a special anniversary. High points. Usually low points and high points are not close together. Yet low points can unexpectedly become a high point, because the Lord teaches us in his word that there where we find ourselves at a real low point, he often begins to work in our lives. Isn't that what Paul is referring to in a special way when he says, "When I'm weak," you might almost think at a low point, "then am I strong," a high point. Well, here in our text this evening and next Lord's Day, you might say Jacob is at a low point. But the low point does become a high point. And it becomes a high point through the miracle of the Lord bringing him low and bringing him to a turning point, a significant turning point in which He says to the Lord, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Today's preparation for the Lord's Supper, a week from today. Next week, the Lord's Supper, which sometimes can be for some or many a low point. A point you look against. But it is intended as a high point. What we need is a turning point, as we see in our text, at which Jacob says, and hopefully you will say it with him too, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. This evening we will listen to this passage by way of the theme, Jacob's confession of faith. Born in dire distress, uttered in his final strength and resting on the deepest ground. Jacob's confession of faith, born in dire distress, uttered in his final strength and resting on the deepest ground. First of all, then, that confession of faith on the part of Jacob, born in dire distress. Jacob has faced quite a few critical moments in his life up to this point, with his parents, with his brother Esau, with his uncle Laban, who became his father-in-law. But what he is facing now here at the river Jabbok is more distressing to him than ever before. In what way? Jacob is on his way from Paddan Aram back home, you might say, to the promised land, after having been away for 20 some years. And when he had left 20 years early, he had nothing with him except a staff. And now after 20 years, he returns as a wealthy, prosperous man with two wives, two maidservants, and 11 children, cattle and other goods. This man lacks nothing, you might think. Lacks nothing? He does lack something. What does he lack? Peace in his heart. 20 years before this day, before this night, he stole something by deceit from his father Isaac. A blessing that his father had intended to give to his twin brother Esau. Here, Jacob is on his way back to Canaan. He'll meet his brother Esau. And Jacob is afraid of Esau. He hears that Esau is on his way with 400 men. Jacob anticipates a fight. He makes himself ready. He has a military strategy in case it gets to be a battle. He divides up his company into two parts, thinking that if Esau will attack the one company, the others might be able to escape. But first, Jacob thinks, I'm going to try to use diplomacy in order to pacify my twin brother Esau. And so what he does is he sends 550 animals across the plain toward Esau in five groups, in his attempt to appease Esau's anger. And he says in verse 21, peradventure he, that is Esau, peradventure, so perhaps he will accept of me, that is, perhaps he will accept me, perhaps. He can't be sure that this plan will work. So in spite of his conniving, he is distressed. The night has come. Jacob can't sleep. Gets up. Rouses his household. And moves them all. His two wives, two maidservants, and his 11 sons across the ford of the Jabbok. And then he moves all his possessions and livestock across the Jabbok as well. And finally he goes back across the stream. And there he is alone by himself. He is in dire distress in view of his brother Esau's coming. But greater than his debt to Esau, there is Jacob's debt to God, although he does not quite realize that yet. And neither does he realize that he will never be able to pay that debt to God. And he will not be able to pacify God with a large portion of his possessions. And God will not overlook Jacob's debt, but will even this very night specifically call attention to his debt. What a dark night of distress this is for Jacob. Verse 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone." Alone. Suddenly, out of the darkness, a hand seizes him. Who is this? Jacob finds himself in a hand-to-hand combat with a man wrestling grimly. And Jacob realizes now I'll go under. My life depends on this. And he fights. Who is this man? From Hosea chapter 12 verse 4, we know that he is an angel, the angel of the Lord. So the Lord himself has come in this dark night of distress to wrestle with Jacob, to hold him accountable for his debt. Now notice, congregation, that this encounter with this man, this angel of the Lord, is a personal encounter. Jacob was left alone, we read. Try to picture that he was separated now from his wives, his maidservants, his children, his cattle, all that he had. And he was here all by himself. God, you might say, had separated him and wrestled with him here. This is something that God brings to pass in the life of his people in a variety of ways. Sometimes he does it by a serious illness. A man may be a member in the church, confessing member in the church. He may be married. He lives with his wife and the Lord has blessed him with children and he has a job. He has a profession or a business. And he sees them all as blessings, as mercies, as Jacob calls them earlier in this chapter, as mercies of the Lord, of which he feels unworthy, because that's how Jacob puts it in verse 10 of this chapter. And yet this man about whom I'm speaking now may never have had a moment in his life in which really he considered to think, who am I before God? Do I have debts before God? And if I do, how can I pay for them? And then one day, he's taken to the hospital by ambulance, separated from his family and lying on a hospital bed. And there he begins to realize he's all alone. Remember the story of a police officer who had been in pursuit of a criminal and ended up in a car crash and he ended up in the hospital with his neck fractured in a hospital bed. And his minister went to visit him and didn't quite know what to say to this young police officer. And sometime later, he had an older minister visiting him and he said to him, "This is what I am dealing with in the hospital. I don't know what to say to this man. I wonder if you would come with me and visit this police officer." And the older minister came with him. And he didn't know what to say either. But after a while, he said to the police officer, He says, you know, sometimes God puts us on our back to look us in the eye like we have never seen. Actually, that's what God does in every worship service congregation. Is that not the purpose of preaching? To bring you face to face with God and realizing that you are an individual before God. You know, the gospel in first instance is always so very personal. You've heard it before, have you not? We are born alone. And as a result of our sin in Adam, one day we will die alone. And then stand before God, who will demand payment from us personally. That's true, is it not? That the bar of God's judgment, every person will face God and God will judge us. And the Bible says that God has a record of every individual, of every thought and word and deed. And He holds us responsible. Have you ever realized that you are an individual before God? And I beseech you this night, my friend, come and stand alone and hear the word of God this night. Recognize that you are an individual. Your individual responsibility and your debt before God. Jacob was left alone in the darkness of the night, and then that man leaped upon him. And they wrestled through the night. And notice also that this encounter, this wrestling, brings him into personal contact or a personal relationship with God. With God. You see, many people think that Christianity is a matter of morals or of Christian action. It's much more than that. Others think that Christianity is a matter of principles, ideas. It's much more than that. Many think Christianity that gives you a certain attitude to the war, or to politics, or to education and industry. And it does. But you know, primarily, Christianity is a personal relationship with God. And Jacob has here a personal encounter with God. And prior to this moment in his life, Jacob had believed in God. But he thought of God more as an impersonal God, rather remote, to whom you would pray in need. And He would bless you, hopefully. And then if He did, then you could move on again in life as before, without a change. And here God does not reveal Himself to Jacob as a remote, impersonal God who sometimes blesses a person in need. But here He comes to Jacob as a person, with whom he and we also have to do, and with whom there is a wrestling match, with whom there is communication, a living communication, as we shall see. And I ask you this night, is God personal to you? Is God the living God to you? When you kneel to pray, what do you say then? Do you then just talk about yourself and your needs? Or do you know that God is there? And do you know yourself in the presence of the living, the holy, the righteous God, to whom you may speak through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you think of wrestling, as for Douglas MacMillan, who was a wrestler before his conversion, he writes, the purpose of wrestling is to get the other person down and keep him down. And clearly that's what this man, this divine wrestler, is trying to do. He is wrestling with Jacob to bring him down and keep him down and cause him to see himself as a poor debtor before God. Next is verse 25. And there we read that the man, the angel of the Lord, prevailed not against him. But what the angel does is he touches Jacob in such a way that his hip is put out of joint as he wrestles with him. And from that moment on, Jacob is a limping man. And notice how then this encounter enters into a new phase. In verse 26, you notice it changes from a silent combat into a verbal exchange, because the man, the angel of the Lord, speaks and he says to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Now think of that. God had intercepted him in the darkness, and now the day is breaking. And in the next Bible book, Exodus, there God tells Moses that no man shall see God and live. What's happening here? God, who is light, is bringing the soul of Jacob, which is in darkness, bringing the soul of Jacob to light and wrestling him to that place where he is given light and a new understanding of grace and of mercy. That's how Douglas MacMillan puts it somewhere in his book. And at that point, Jacob realizes that the worst thing is not that he has to meet Esau. Jacob realizes that the worst thing is not this hand-to-hand combat, but the worst thing is his debt to God. And thus he says, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." What is that? That's his confession, to which the Lord brings him. Question: has God done that in your life? He comes against you in a dark night, and he wrestles you with you in order to bring you where? To an end of yourself, in order to see your debt before God. And as I said, God can use sickness for this. God can use a loss of your job for this. God can use another disappointment for this, to bring you to an end of yourself and to see your debt before him, and to say to him then in confession, "I will not let you go, except thou bless me." Congregation, next week is the Lord's Day of the Lord's Supper. What do you need for that? And what do I need for that? You and I don't need merely the sense that some years ago we made confession of faith, and now I'm up to celebrating the Lord's Supper next week. And neither I, as a pastor, should feel that I'm up to administrating the Lord's Supper next week simply because I'm an ordained minister and it's on the calendar. Next Lord's Day, Lord's Supper, okay, we'll do that. I hope tonight that there will be an arm in the darkness taking hold of you and wrestling with you to bring you to an end with yourself. All week, till you confess your need of the Lord blessing you. You know, often it happens that there are persons who come to the table of the Lord who don't have a sense of that, of their personal need of the Lord's blessing. I'm a confessing member, here I go. No wrestling at all. You know, this can also happen to those who do not come to the table of the Lord, never have come to the table of the Lord. No wrestling at all. What you and I need this week is a personal encounter with the Lord. And in that encounter, the confession of faith, as Jacob did, clinging as a wounded wrestler, as he was, conscious, smitten soul, on account of his debt before God, and knowing himself in the grip of God and saying, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Our circumstances indeed are different from Jacob's in that dark night at the Jabbok River. But this confession of faith is the key thing, congregation. Because it's clear that God could easily have prevailed against Jacob. But the Lord caused Jacob to prevail against him in order that Jacob might come to that confession. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And the Lord loves to hear from your lips and from your heart that you need him. You can't live without him. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Well, that's our first start for this evening, congregation. Jacob's confession of faith, uttered in dire distress. But secondly, uttered in his final strength. Because the picture here is, you see, Jacob is in the grip of God. And Jacob has become a crippled man. He can't even walk or stand at this moment. And he's been made to cling to this man, wrestling with him with all his might. But spiritually and physically, you might think he is at the end of his resources. Jacob has been a proud man in life. And where he's at now, that's a dreadful state for a wrestler to be in, congregation. But it's at that very moment, when David is in pain, that he is clinging to God. And at that moment, God is uttering the words to him, let me go, for the day breaketh. And if this were only a wrestling match between two ordinary men, then it's the loser who would cry out, let me go now. And Jacob, no doubt, would have been ready to concede that the other had won the victory and that he could lose nothing more in the way of struggle. But what's happening then now, this man, this angel is saying to him, let me go. When he says to Jacob, let me go, Jacob in his brokenness, in his helplessness, says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You see what's happening? Jacob is clinging to the Lord with his final strength. And what's his final strength? It's the promise of God. And God has led himself to this. At this very moment, he so touched him in his thigh that Jacob was wounded and helpless. And the Lord has humbled Jacob. Jacob's pride has been dealt a death blow. Allow me to read this section from Douglas Macmillan. Do you know what it is to be humbled by the finger of God? There are those who speak readily about coming to Jesus and deciding for Jesus and being happy, all their problems being over. However, they speak little about repentance, the need for God to work in us those graces which please Him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. We need to go back to the doctrine of the Scriptures. God is great, and only God is great. Man is dust, and but for grace, man would be destroyed. End of quote. Do you see that before you, congregation? And the fact that Jacob realizes that at this moment. What? That this man could easily destroy him, but has not destroyed him. That gives him hope, and it makes him say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The Lord has wrestled with Jacob to give him this sense of his debt before God. But the Lord also has given him this sense that that man who has been wrestling with him is not merely a man, but is God himself, the God of Bethel, who stood above that ladder and promised Jacob, what had he promised him? I am with thee. Genesis 28 verse 15. What is that then? I am with thee. Do you hear? Emmanuel, God with you in Jesus Christ. And we do not know to what extent, but Jacob sees something of this or senses something of this. He realizes that he is utterly dependent upon the blessing of the Lord. And that God has promised. And thus he confesses while praying, and he prays while confessing, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. It's the only thing left for Jacob. And you think of that. Here is Jacob, removed from his wives, his maidservants, his children, his cattle, his possessions. Now the only thing that counts is the blessing of the Lord. Here is this poor sinner clinging to the Lord for his blessing. And he is doing it with all his final strength. Not the strength of Jacob's muscles. Not the strength of Jacob's endurance. What strength? It's the strength of the Lord himself that he gives to Jacob. I cannot let thee go. I may not let thee go. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. For if I will let thee go now, I will not have thy blessing. And then there is no future. Then there is no forgiveness of my debts. I need thy blessing. I need thy salvation. I need a new life. I need to be reconciled unto God. Congregation, that's the final strength which God proclaims to you this evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the strength that we guilty sinners that we are, by that strength we can prevail against God. And how wondrous that the Almighty and gracious God permits such a weak, unholy, sinful man as Jacob and you and I, but permits him and us to prevail against the Lord, because the Lord himself gives that final strength for it. Again, I think of the Lord's Supper a week from today. The table of the Lord will be spread here in the midst of the congregation. This is the week of preparation for you and me, the week in which we are to examine ourselves, rightly examine ourselves. And each of us, consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him, to the end that he may humble himself and loathe himself before God and consider that God, rather than letting sin go unpunished, he has punished it in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Now, if anyone is here this evening and he hears these words and he remains indifferent to those words, then I must warn you. Anyone who is a confessing member, but who is indifferent, if you are indifferent, how then shall you escape? If this week you will be called out of this life and must appear before God. Or if this week the Lord will come against you in adversity and you have not taken this calling seriously, if you are a despiser of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, how will you escape? But there are also in our midst those who know what it is to wrestle, and who know what it is for the Lord to wrestle with them. And they, in response, and yet, as you are sitting here tonight, you're thinking to yourself, I hear the message, Pastor, but I am not able to say. What I think I must be able to say. And I do sense there is this divine must. But I honestly don't dare. I am busy with it. But have you heard the words of Jacob this night? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Wrestle then, my friend, as Jacob did. I cannot let thee go. I may not let thee go. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. For thou art all I need. Thou alone, thy blessing, is my only anchor. Question, is this your final strength in life? What is the only thing that you would hold on to if everything else would have to go? Would you then hold on to Christ at the cost of everything else? You know, that's the mark of a Christian. He sees that it is Christ dying on the cross that alone can give him forgiveness of sins. He sees in Christ alone that he can be given a new life and a new standing before God. He sees that it is in Christ alone who bore the burden of God's wrath due to our sin, my sin. But He bore it away into death and has conquered death and the grave. And in Him I am given an eternal, glorious inheritance. And he sees a Christian is a person who sees all that in Christ. And he says, if everything else, if everyone else, my wife, my children, my husband, would be taken from me, as long as I have him and his blessing, all is well. That's the question. Is Christ supreme in your and my life? Do we know that this is the most vital thing, and would we gladly sacrifice all else for this? Well, that's been our second point, congregation. That's what Jacob came to see. But let's move to our third thought. It's a confession of faith on the part of Jacob that rests on the deepest ground. What is then that deepest ground? It does not lie in Jacob. It doesn't lie either in the experience that he had in the past, whether it was Bethel or another time that God came and made himself known to him. And they were great experiences. Think of Bethel. Jacob was under an open heaven. What a gracious experience God granted him there. But that's not the ground on which he confesses his faith now. But the ground lies in the Lord alone, himself. That's the deepest ground that he pleads on here. And that comes through clearly when this man asks him this question, what is thy name? As if he didn't know his name. He knew his name, but Jacob had to say his name to him. What is thy name? What will Jacob say now? Will he say, I'm the man who had an experience at Bethel? I am the son of promise because my father gave it to me. No, that's not what he says. He says, my name is Jacob. Heel catcher, that's what it means. I am the twister, he says to the angel of the Lord. Now, did that question, what is thy name, take him back 20 years before? When he walked into his father's tent with food prepared by mother, in order to, by way of the seed, obtain the blessing, the first birthright blessing. And his father Isaac had been blind. And he said to the one who came into the tent, when Jacob had said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Remember what he had said? He had said, I am Esau, thy firstborn. And after that, Jacob had heaped lie upon lie, dragging the name of God into it. Because when his father Isaac asked him, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? Remember what he had said? Because the Lord, thy God, brought it to me. But his father was in doubt and said to him, come near, my son, that I may feel thee, whether thou art my very son Esau or not. And Jacob had come forward, disguised as his brother Esau. And his father had touched him. I remember his father had said, the voice is Jacob's voice. The hands are Esau's hands. His father had been confused. Who is this person standing before me? Is it Esau or is it Jacob? His eyes could not see him. His ears told him, it's Jacob. His hands told him, it's Esau. And then Jacob had repeated the lie, and he had said, I am Esau. When Jacob had said, art thou my very son Esau? Now it's 20 years later. And now it's not blind father Isaac asking him, who art thou? But it's the angel of the Lord. And he can't lie to him. He can no longer lie. Jacob now can only cry. Weep. And he speaks one word. One name. Jacob. You see, he can no longer receive the blessing by way of a lie, but only by way of the truth. And that goes for you and me too. It's only when we confess, my name is sinner, lost, helpless, that God will bless you. My name is Jacob. This was the lowest point in Jacob's life. And at this lowest point, the Lord performs a wondrous wonder of grace. He pronounces the judgment of love. That's how the Lord deals with this sinner who confesses his sinner's name. And the Lord says to him, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou prevailed and has power with God. Jacob says, now you don't expect anything from yourself anymore. Now only from my blessing. As a prince hast thou power with God. Do you hear that? That's God's own name. And God's own promise that he had uttered in Bethel, I am with thee, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. This wrestling of Jacob, does it not make you think of the wrestling of the great son of Jacob in Gethsemane, Jesus, and on Golgotha? And he suffered more than that. His hip was wrenched out of place. He was forsaken of God. He suffered hellish agony. Jesus on the cross suffered outer darkness. And there he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That heaven might be opened for Jacob and might be given the name Israel. Jacob discovered that God wanted to wrestle with him. And that God did not want to destroy him, neither leave him to himself for the rest of his earthly life. Jacob discovered, the Lord has wrestled with me. What a grace that he has wrestled with me. And that I, as a sinner, might plead for his blessing. And therefore, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. It's in this light that you and I are called to prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, the Lord concerns himself with you and me, the Lord alone. And for the Lord's Supper, you cannot find any ground in yourself not in any spiritual experience that you may have had. You can only find it in the Lord Himself. Do you see here the work of the triune God? God the Father purposed this blessing. And God the Son merited this blessing. And God the Holy Spirit applies this blessing. He works it out in the heart of a sinner. Shows him his need. Confession of name. And a plea for his blessing. For the sake of him who bore the curse, Jesus. So the ground is not in you, not in your confession, not even in your faith, not in your experience. But the Lord calls to his table sinners. And he takes pleasure to show grace to sinners who acknowledge their real name, Jacob, but who plead with the Lord for his blessing. Are there any seekers tonight in our midst? I mean, true seekers. Sometimes you thought you were almost there in your seeking. And yet you were not there yet. You still cherish too much of yourself. Oh, that this text tonight may be the arm and the hand to take you and combat with you this struggle in which you will forever lose yourself and gain the Lord. May you cry out, I will not bless, I will not leave thee, I will not let go of thee, except thou bless me. And call it then what you want, but it is a confession of faith. Maybe there is someone else here this evening and he feels so assaulted spiritually. Are you as Jacob? Perhaps known a time in your life in which heaven was open to you, as Jacob in Bethel. But now you feel the Lord is against you and wrestling with you. He brings you so low and you have nothing left now in yourself. And yet you cannot do without the Lord's blessing. Now that's an experience that brings you so low. It takes you into the night. But through that night, as the morning comes, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. What is your name? What is a week of preparation, other congregation, than in a sense, in that wrestling, to mention your name? My name, Lord, is sinner. But Lord, thy name is Emmanuel. On it I hang. On it I rest. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we began the day in our prayer, mindful of thy word, come let us reason together. And here thou hast come to wrestle. We are about to go home. O be thou the after preacher. Be thou not only the after wrestler, but do thou wrestle as to the ground. And to lose self and to confess our sin, but not to let thee go, except thou bless us.
as we are about to go home. One thing, O Lord, whatever thou wilt take away from us this week, let it not be thy blessing. We do deserve the opposite, but do thou bless us, even me. And we shall bless thee forevermore. Amen.